7, please. The United States versus Hiram Abbas McCullough.
My name is Robert Douglas, Bob Douglas. I'm from Robinson, Illinois. I represent Mr. McCullough. May I please support Mr. Norwood. This case is brought on the basis of standard review of de novo review. It's not a he said, she said type of case. It's a question of law. And the question of law is whether or not Ms. Medina, treatment should be given to an FFL who keeps improper records, or the felony provisions of that same statute. The court below held that the law was clear as mud. Mr. Norwood, and this is on our argument on my lesser included jury instruction. And from the get-go, I believe that it was a lesser included case. I would be nuts, and I've been accused of a lot of things, but not being nuts had I tried to try the case without having an escape clause, and our escape clause was the misdemeanor statute, and the cases are under Percival Hunter, and Wright gave a great deal of comfort to us. And then 2 weeks before trial, the Winsky was decided by the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals that kind of gutted that, our theory in that case to the extent that we could not do a conditional plea. If we did a conditional plea, whatever we pled to is what we got. So Winsky required us to go to trial for us to preserve this issue. There is any other reason I think that would be tautology. Just, we had to go to trial, it had to be up so we can get the issue to you. And the court below was very kind to us, made us submit all of our jury instructions so that this court, your court, could not say that we waived any issue, so we could look at it through a square. I got out of the case because we had another lawyer who was referred to us by the NRA as being an expert in this area, and I'm a country lawyer down there, so we co-tried the case, and then I got out, and he was going to handle the appeal. And I didn't know what the status of the appeal was, but my lawyer, one time, the NPR heard that in the Marble case out in Washington State, that the, you know, he came up with saying that failure to keep records was a misdemeanor. So I let my curiosity, I contacted the Court of Appeals, and they told me the status of the case. My former co-counsel had not filed a brief, and I asked if I could file a brief asking public pro bono, and this court was kind enough to have me appointed. And I specifically asked my client, my specific representation was on the sole issue of felony misdemeanor. In my reply brief, I devised my strategy saying that had we had the lesser included offense, the jury instruction been given by the trial court below, I intended to have him admit on the stand that he was guilty of a misdemeanor, and then let the trial fact make that determination, which to help me preserve the record to get it before this court. And since that time, Winsky and then El Muscat, which is a case cited by the government, which I missed, I found out that there's a law review article by Harvey David T. Firearms Protection Act, 17 Common Law Review 585, which I refer in the recovery, and I blundered onto it. Not great legal scholarship. Plain old blind Irish luck. But we found it, and I called Mr. Hardy and asked him whether or not how he interpreted the law he has heard about contemporaneously. And he was somewhat modest, but he told me, Your Honor, that he drafted the act, the 1986 Act. It was a compromise that was done between the NRA and Treasury, and it was done at night with one of the people who was the big dog at the NRA.
Oh, this is prison record, then?
No, it's not a record.
No,
they didn't even know the case at the time.
There should have been an instruction on the lesser included.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct, John.
Well, you tell us why it should be. Go ahead.
Because
not because of the law review article, just as
the Hunter law review is the one that analyzes the act contemporaneously. And if you trust me and I say that he's one of the drafters, by the federal terms in Tacoma, fight misdemeanor number of times. Now, the final times is a reputable newspaper, it's not a radical newspaper, and you, and they say the call to citizens. Now, the BI came up with saying, and in that article that's in my work, appended to my first page, on the last page, you will note that the BOATF sent a wonderful notice to the bad gun dealer that threw the gun that killed all those folks in Washington, D.C. So apparently the BOATF in the Seattle office, but they got a satellite office in Tacoma. But if they were not a sucker, they have a write-up and a misdemeanor to lawful violation, so I sent them a lawful letter.
You got it. Stay focused here. What you're trying to do is possibility of the lesser included offense that the jury could have considered that.
That's correct.
The trial judge did find that there was a fact question of whether he, say, sold or delivered. Did he not?
No, there's no dispute that
No, there's a dispute.
No, I understand.
Did the district court say that? I remember that in as part of the record that the district court said that he determined it was not a lesser included offense because of the wider requirement under 922M than under 922B5.
Yes, that's what he found. He said that if you lay them side by side, that they weren't identical, and that for a lesser included offense, they had to be identical. The Hartle article,
a part sold or delivered. He determined there was a fact question there based on the way your client viewed it. Did he not?
I don't remember it that way.
That's kind of important to me.
I don't know.
But if you don't remember, that's disappointing.
He said a lot of things, but one thing
the reason it's important is, if he said that, that's one element. That's 922B5 only. And if that's a fact question, then at least that focuses on whether or not a lesser included offense could have been viable. If the jury could have found that he did not sell or deliver, then maybe they could have gone to a lesser included offense.
But there's no jury instruction on that for him to make that finding that he sold, that they sold.
No,
I'm
not.
This is your side. Don't argue with them now.
I'm with you, Judge, on that point.
I can understand why.
Judge David to say,
there's a difference in my opinion between willfully and knowingly, okay? It's a licensed dealer.
That's correct, Jim.
So there's two other elements there, and one is it's sold or delivered. And then this other issue, which I believe the district court determined was not the same, that 922M was broader because it required more things to be listed. And therefore, I believe in that you have to, what is it, name, age, place of residence of the person under 922B5, you have to put more things down under 922M.
Yes, Your Honor. To address your question, at the end of the conclusion that the judge, as we had asked earlier, the conclusion of everybody in the courtroom was that the final provision was a lesser included offense of the misdemeanor provision, and that just didn't make sense to me. But that was the conclusion if you really read the articles, and I don't clearly, I know that's not the intent. That just couldn't be the intent. And I know in the Linsky case, this court said they give great deference to the government. This is the case where you can't give great deference to the government, because this is a question of law that really needs to be sorted out. Thank you. And I don't get any rebuttal. I don't want to rebuttal.
All right, counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry. My name is George Norwood. I'm assistant United States Attorney in Southern Illinois. With respect to Judge Mannion's question, I think what Judge Gilbert was doing, the government understands Fifth Circuit's law is that when you're determining whether or not one offense is a lesser included offense, you put out the elements of the first offense, the greater offense, and then the elements of the second offense, the lesser offense, and see if there's any difference between them, or more specifically, to see if the lesser included offense is a subset of the initial offense, or of the greater offense. Judge Gilbert did that and found that the elements of the two offenses were different, and that's where the sold or delivered comes in. Judge Gilbert indicated that for a 922B5 violation, you have to have a sale or delivery. For a 922M, you do not. Then Judge Gilbert indicated that for 922M, there are other ways, other elements that you, other ways you can violate the statute that are not in 922B5.
That is, on the issue of sale or delivery, did we say that he at least found or thought that there was at least a fact question of whether there was a sale or delivery?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe Judge Gilbert said that. I believe what you may be thinking of is Judge Gilbert indicated that he thought that this whole lesser included was a question of law and that there was enough of a factual basis to give a lesser included if the law didn't preclude it. I'm not sure if that's answering the judge's question.
Was that a contested issue at trial?
No, Your Honor, I don't believe it was a contested issue at all. He admitted selling the firearms to West. We had the controlled purchases.
I thought he sold it something to me. He was delivering for somebody else.
Well, that was a one of the many
questions
that were raised. In his testimony, I believe the defendant tried to argue that I was just a conduit.
Yeah, well, that would be, a conduit is not me, the seller and delivery, he's simply a conduit. That would then be an issue of fact that would make the lesser included a necessary instruction, because it is an issue before the court.
No, Your Honor, in the sense that the videotapes and the testimony of everybody but the defendant was that, and Dean West testified with respect to each purchase, I gave the money to the defendant.
Yeah, what you're saying is the evidence is overwhelming in favor of the felony conviction. That's not wrong, it was not. It was an issue that the defendant contested, and that's why she would be entitled to an instruction.
I wouldn't disagree that the defendant contested it, Your Honor, yes.
That makes it a question of fact, because I didn't do that. I can explain what happened.
Yes, Your Honor, I think that's accurate. I think that's absolutely accurate.
All right, that means that it's an issue of fact that the jury should get the instruction, and if you find that the defendant told a legitimate story, or you believe it, or you do not believe beyond a reasonable doubt that the story is told by the plaintiff's people, then you're entitled to find him guilty of the misdemeanor, not the felony.
I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. I believe under the Boyles case, and I forgot the Supreme Court case which it cites, under the elements test, the first duty of the court is to determine whether or not the elements of the lesser included offense are a subset of the greater offense.
Well, Bob, back when we started, there's an element in that you don't have to prove the misdemeanor, that you don't have to prove the felony. Am I correct in my analysis so far?
Can you repeat that, Your Honor?
There is an element that you have to prove to convict him of a felony that you do not have to prove to convict him of a misdemeanor.
With respect to the misdemeanor, you have to prove, or the felony, you have to prove that he sold or delivered, correct?
Right.
That
is not necessary in the misdemeanor.
That's correct, Your Honor.
In the official test that he sold and delivered, that he was a seller, that he sold something as opposed to just as a conduit, that's an issue of fact, isn't it?
I suppose it's an issue of fact, Your Honor. I guess I'm not understanding your argument. This is where we went back and forth with Judge Gilbert on this. I believe, and this is just my understanding of this court's law. Maybe I misunderstood this court's law, but for example, you have a possession with intent to distribute, for example, crack cocaine, a lesser included offense is possession of crack cocaine.
Well, if you had a dumbbell, and then when they give the rest of instructions, and then rely on argument to the jury, you really need a damn issue for the whole thing up?
No, Your Honor, I knowing I'm stubborn as a catfish, I probably would have proceeded the same way. Regardless, count six, and I want to emphasize this too, count six is a separate and distinct count from counts 1 through 5.
Yes.
The lesser included offense had to do with counts 1 through 5. Okay. Count six is a
separate. That's what you're not worried about.
Okay. And there are additional elements of 922M that aren't in 922B5. In the sense that a licensed dealer can fail to make false entry in, or fail to make an entry in, or fail to properly maintain records. So we're talking about different elements than 922B5, the basic simple sale.
And that's what the district court focused on.
Yes, Your Honor.
He said that therefore they're not, I don't know what you call it, coterminous or subset or whatever. He said that was broader. But he seemed to say, and again, you know this case much better than I hope, he seemed to say that that when it came to this sale or delivery, there was possibly a fact question, but the reason that it's not, that the broader element in the misdemeanor took it out of the lesser included offense because it had a broader requirement for filling out all of these documents. And the question I guess would have on that is, did it really, I mean, would you be able to have, let's just say someone fill out the form but didn't include the name, age, and place of residence, and that's all, then that's the same requirement for the felon. And then you get back to the other fact question of whether they, whether there's a sale or delivery. Because do you dispute whether knowing and willful is knowing less than willful?
No, Your Honor.
Okay.
I think it's pretty evident that willful is a slightly higher standard, knowledge of an intentional violation of a known duty of law. And I think
knowing would be lesser included than willful.
I think simply knowing and willfully, those were the only two items.
Okay.
I would have no dispute with
that. Well, we're trying to put them side by side here. I think you agree this is a case of first impression, isn't it?
I looked long and hard, and law folks have looked long and hard, and we haven't found this particular issue. I know that the other courts of appeals, the other courts of appeals, the cases are cited there where they make clear that willfully is a felony, but I don't think any case has gone to trial where a defendant has requested a lesser included offense under 922M. And there are ways of violating 922M without violating 922B and vice versa. That's why I believe Judge Gilbert's indicating that 922M is broader than 922B5. I mean, the failure to maintain records can simply be the failure to not keep them for the required period of time. Or there are two sets of records that need to be kept, not only the ATF Form 4473, but there's also what's called an acquisition and disposition book. So when a licensed firearm dealer receives firearms, they need to maintain those records in the acquisition and disposition book. If they don't do that, they're violating 922M, which has absolutely nothing to do with 922B5. When they sell the firearm and they complete the ATF Form 4473 with the name, age, and residence of the purchaser, if they don't put that sale in the acquisition and disposition book, they've complied with 922B5, but not 922M. So there are different requirements for these two statutes with respect to the specific sale of the firearm and getting specific information versus the multitude of records that need to be maintained, kept, whether false entries are made in them, etc. That would be the government's position in a nutshell. I hope the court understands it.
Thank you. All right. The court will move the case under advisement.